Well, greetings, everybody. Bob Christopher and Andrew Parley. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on this edition of Basic Gospel, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Basic Gospel, of course, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And speaking of good news, let's go over to Bob Christopher right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. And we're going to talk about Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 or 18 through 23 today. It's a wonderful passage. Paul is praying for us. He's praying that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened, that we'll have a spirit of wisdom and revelation about three different things. And he says this, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Three great things that we all need to know as believers in Christ. And if we get these three things right, if we know the hope to which we've been called, if we know the glorious inheritance God has in his saints and the power that's available to us, gosh, we're just going to see some amazing things happen in and through us, aren't we, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, Bob, this is a great passage. It really shows us how to pray as well. I mean, if you've ever wondered, gosh, should we be praying for, more cars in our garage and more television sets in our homes and more wealth and that sort of thing? I mean, there is a wealth here, but it is the riches of this inheritance that we have. And that we'll already see that. That's the prayer. The prayer is not, you need more power. The prayer is not, you need more riches. The prayer is not, you need more of Jesus. The prayer is that the eyes of our hearts would see what we've already got. So to me, guys, this is a beauty of prayer here exposed for all of us to see and celebrate. And that is that, you know, we're really aligning ourselves with what God has already done. We're saying, God, show me your love, show me your grace, show me who I am in you, show me who you are in me. I don't need more of you. I don't need to beg and plead and wait and hope to get some new portion of you or anything like that. I'm not going to pray that you will come down into this place, as we often hear in churches, you know, fall fresh on us, come down into this place. We need more of you, Lord. No, Paul is not praying that. He is praying that we as believers would see what we've already got, how rich it is to have Jesus Christ living in you, how awesome it is to depend on his power in whom we believe, and to really understand this great calling that we already have and how much hope we have because of it. So this is not grasping for something new. This is celebrating what we already have. And what a beautiful prayer this is.
It is a beautiful prayer. And I love this aspect of the power. I meet so many Christians, and I'm sure you do too, Andrew, that have just resigned themselves to kind of a second-class Christian life. The temptations are too much. The pressures of this world are too much. And they've just kind of tossed up their hands in frustration and said, I give up. I really can't live this Christian life. And the big reason is because they're not tapping into that power. They're not allowing that power of God to flow through them in powerful ways that says, victory is yours. So how do people really tap into that? How do people really rest in that and walk in that power of the resurrection on a day-to-day basis?
I mean, you know, the first thing that comes to me, Bob, is truth and how important truth is. You know, whenever we watch Star Wars and they talk about power and they talk about the Force and that sort of thing, and then we go over to the enemy's fabrications of power, whether it's in the occult or world religions, and you look at how people throughout the centuries have danced around campfires in order to try to have power or to have a good harvest, to have a good outcome, that sort of thing in pagan religions. Well, whether it's Star Wars and the Force or pagan religions or world religions today of any kind, you know, the premise is you lack and therefore you need to get what you lack. And so something outside of you needs to come and be within you and give you this power, this force. Well, as believers, we've been equipped with everything we need for life and godliness. So you said, you know, Bob, you said, how do we access, how do we tap into, how do we experience, how do we enjoy, how do we benefit from all that Christ has done for us? Well, I would say the first thing is knowing the truth, learning the truth about how we've been equipped, and knowing that truth and banking on that truth. We're not needing something external to be imposed upon us. Instead, if we're in Christ, we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, and He is enough. He is sufficient. He is our everything. So, Christian, the good news is you don't have to go shopping for more of Jesus. Instead, we need to learn the truth about all that we have in Him already. And to me, Bob, the truth of the gospel, that is the doorway to enjoying Jesus the way that we're intended to.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Andrew. Thanks for those great thoughts and that great insight.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel where you hear these insights every day. We're glad that you're with us to hear them today. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd like to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher is here, Andrew Farley is here, and we're glad that you are as well. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, you and I are going to be in Chicago. And,
yes.
March 9th and 10th, actually in Hinsdale, Illinois, and we're going to have a Simply Jesus conference. It's a Friday night, a Saturday morning, and we certainly invite you, our listeners, to come and join us on this special event. Andrew, you and I are going to be working through the book of Hebrews, talking about Jesus in the majestic way that the writer of Hebrews lifts him up. And we're also going to talk about this new covenant that we live in as believers. This is important stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I am really looking forward to this. As you said, it's March 9 to 10. If you're listening right now and you're anywhere near the Chicago area, we want to encourage you to come in, whether that's a few hours drive or a short flight, whatever it might be. It's a unique time for us to be able to visit this area of the country, in Chicago, March 9 and 10. And, you know, we're going to be journeying through the hot spots of Hebrews. Hebrews is one of the most neglected epistles in the New Testament. A lot of Christians have never really sunk their teeth into it. And so we're going to be talking about, you know, what does it mean to rest? What does it mean to enter God's rest and to rest in the finished work of Christ? And just how forgiven are we? And what about all these warnings in Hebrews about, you know, if you hear His voice, make sure that you respond to the gospel. And then what about the warnings in Hebrews 6 and 10? People have spun those into can you lose your salvation type concerns. So, Bob, what I love about this is, you know, you and I are going to tag team through one of the most exciting epistles in the entire New Testament. And that's March 9, 10 in Chicago for our Simply Jesus event. And I am super excited about it.
Well, I am too. And I know, I just have a gut feeling that this event is going to be sold out. Early registration is already clicking at a really fast rate. So if you're interested, if you want to come, you probably need to make arrangements, make plans, buy your tickets to join us as quickly as possible. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net. We have a big banner just right on our homepage. Just click that big banner that says Simply Jesus, and it will give you all the information about this event in Hinsdale, Illinois, March 9th and 10th, and we look forward to, for you joining with us on this exciting time.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, and we invite your calls, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello. Andrew was talking about the truth of the gospel, and it seems like the older I get, the more funerals I go to. And I went to a friend of mine's funeral Thursday, and he, same age as I am, 68. You got a captive audience there, okay? And almost every one of these, you see so much hopelessness and untruth of the gospel there. And one of the things that I noticed almost everyone, right at the last, the person that's up there wants to say, Father, into thy hand I commit thy spirit, okay? And it's the same thing, you know, like in Luke, 23. And to me, that's hopelessness, because I guess it's something like you're trying to initiate that spirit to go. So I told that old boy when I left, he was standing outside shaking hands. I said, you know, the reason you're having that thing is because my friend's spirit went to be with the Lord when this body fell asleep. And he acted like it was some kind of surprise. And I just wondered, is that scriptural to have man try to commit? I know Jesus did it, but he was initiating it, you know? So
yeah.
Just your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, Clay, you know, it's interesting. You always have some good insights on things. And I think that first there's a core truth here. You know, speaking of truth, the core truth that really we need to grasp is not just that, hey, his spirit went to be with the Lord the moment he died, but in fact that we're one spirit with the Lord right now. That, you know, Ephesians tells us that we've been raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I would say, you know, your friend or this pastor or whoever he was trying to say, hey, you know what, we can commit this person's future to the Lord. We can commit this person's destiny to the Lord, and that sort of thing. And maybe the language wasn't very accurate. And then you came along and you rightly point out, you know what? This person was with the Lord before this ceremony. And then I would back that up and say, in fact, ever since that person was saved, they became one spirit with the Lord. So when Jesus is saying in the Gospel of Luke, you know, into your hands I commit my spirit, he's saying, you've got me, Father. You've got me. You've got this taken care of. But, you know, was the Holy Spirit already at work through the ministry of Jesus? Was Jesus already one with the Father? Absolutely. So that language, in my view, that Jesus used was, Father, you've got me. I trust you. When everything fades to black here in a minute, when everything goes to black and the curtain is drawn and I experience physical death, I want to announce right here and now, Father, that I trust you with what is about to happen. Now, as far as our anatomy goes, our spiritual anatomy, guys, you know, for Clay and for all of us, I think it's just important to recognize we are united in spirit. We're one with Christ right now, ever since the moment of salvation. And a lot of Christians don't celebrate that, and that's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet, Clay. Well, thanks for your call today. Great to hear from you.
I like that. I like that. It initiates at rebirth. You know,
yes.
It's not something that your spirit is going to be when the body goes to sleep somewhere that it hasn't been. It's already there. It was with Jesus before, and it's going to be with Jesus after.
Amen.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Hey, I want to jump back to this passage in Luke 23 where it says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Great insights there, Andrew, on the fact that Jesus was saying, you know, I'm trusting you. I know that you've got me, and it's that's kind of the counter to his, you know, one of his initial statements on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Hmm.
So even, you know, even with that, the depth of that sensation, that feeling that, you know, he was entering into the darkness on our behalf, that, you know, he was being forsaken by his Father, yet we see this faithfulness through the end. I think, in this last statement, don't we? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Here's this statement of faith. I am trusting you at this moment. Even though you seem maybe a million miles away, I'm still trusting you, and it's into your hands I commit my spirit.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome, and that's, as again, I love to say, guys, that this is the kind of good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're here to hear it. 844-322-2742. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. And, guys, of course, we've talked about it all month long, that, friends, if you don't have the basics down right, you're going to be standing on shifting ground. But with your gift by midnight tonight, you're not only going to help us to keep the good news coming, you're going to receive this brand new book that we've produced called The Basic Gospel. It'll help you make sure that you have those basics down and be able to help others at the same time with your gift. So just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. In that book, I share a little story about my daughter, Caitlin, when she was playing softball. And when she first got into it, she wanted to be the best hitter that she could be. And she had a real frustrating first season. And every dad, that saw her tried to help her. And so she had all these voices coming at her, and it just confused her. And I see so many Christians just like that. They have so many voices coming at them, and they're trying to put all these pieces together, but it's just becomes this swirl of confusion within their minds. And finally, we got her to a coach who could really talk to her and connect her to the basics. And once she started listening to him and following those things, then she became a force to be reckoned with every time she stood in the batter's box. And that's what this book is all about. It's a book that will help cut through all the confusion and just bring you to the point of hearing one single voice, what the Word of God has to say about Jesus and this new life in Him. And that's the firm foundation you need to be on, and we want you to be on, and that's why we've put this resource together. So order your copy today. I think it's going to be invaluable to you in your walk with Jesus Christ and how you share the good news with others. So go online, basicgospel.net, and request your copy today.
Absolutely. Or you can call again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Martin, who writes to us from East Palatka, Florida. He says, I listened to the January 22nd program and heard the question about confessing sins. I want to share a point and get some feedback to make sure I'm not in error, he says. We are so used to the courtroom version where the criminal is trying to hide his acts but finally confesses, admitting something that he thought he could hide. I learned a couple of years ago that the word confess in the Greek actually is homologeo, meaning to say the same as. So under the new covenant, I am confessing my sins, saying the same thing as God says about my sins, that they are gone. Therefore, my confession is not admitting as the criminal does, but instead acknowledging that I have acted out of character as a son, and thanking God for the forgiveness that I've been given. So yes, we confess, but not to get something, but in order to be thankful, in thankfulness for what we have been given. So am I correct on this? I'd love to have your input, he says, a longtime listener.
Wow. Well, guys, I would say that was spot on as far as Martin's answer to his own dilemma. You know, Martin, I think you're really on a good road there when you talk about agreeing with God. That's what confession is. I mean, my take is we agree with God about everything. I mean, we confess that Jesus is Lord. That's agreeing with God that Jesus is who he says he is. We agree with God that we're his children, that we're dead to sin. We're not made for sin. So then when sin comes up, when sin becomes a reality in our lives, we just agree with God about that. We call it what it is. Call a spade a spade. Just be honest and straightforward about it. So, you know, to me, you know, a lot of people will try to characterize this once for all forgiveness, this total forgiveness message, as somehow being anti-confession. And, you know, my thoughts on that are, why in the world would I be hesitant to agree with God if he's already told me I'm forgiven? and that my sins are taken away, and that he's not holding them against me. Well, with that kind of God, I can be transparent, I can be honest, I can be open. I don't, you know, he already knows about everything anyway, so all I'm doing is coming back to my senses here. I mean, when we talk about homologeo, you know, saying the same thing as, that's coming to your senses. That's what we're doing. We're coming to our senses about the issue of sin and agreeing. I love how you put it, Martin. I mean, you're acknowledging that it's out of character for you. Why? Well, because you're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. You're a child of God. You've got a new nature, a new heart. So, yeah, sin is out of character for us, and we're not confessing to get something as if, you know, this is not Hunger Games where God is sending down little parachutes with gift boxes in them to rescue us. Here's a little bit of forgiveness today and a little bit of forgiveness tomorrow. It's not coming in installments. So it's once for all. So I'm not confessing or admitting my wrongdoing in order to get something from God, but instead it's out of thankfulness. You know, God, thank you so much that I am a forgiven person. And Father, thank you that I can be real with you right now. So I agree with Martin. I think he has a great perspective, a healthy perspective, and I wish that perspective were more common today.
Sounds like you guys been reading out of the same book.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Well, this forgiveness of sins, when you rest in it, it really changes your thinking on a lot of things. I mean, that confession used to be just you know, the prime aspect of your religious life. You sin, you confess it, you repent of it, you ask for forgiveness, and then you repeat the cycle.
Yeah.
And boy, that's where I live my life, and it sure wasn't a lot of fun. And I eventually got to the point where I thought I'd lost my salvation. How could this be? And it wasn't my behaviors. It was my bad theology. It was my wrong understanding. And boy, if more people would confess that, and I think that would open up their minds to some truth that would really set them free. So,
yeah.
Man, great answer, Andrew. Thank you.
Absolutely. Martin, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Got a question from Hector in New Jersey. He says, I have a question about fellowship. I'm 25 years old and have given my life to Christ, but I struggle with the idea of joining a local church. I don't want to be misled by anyone. I spread the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I've been blessed in the process. I believe fellowship with other members of my community who also believe would help me grow more in this life. I wanted to ask if that's okay to just continue my ways or try to start a small study group or search for a church that hits all the core values of being a follower of the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Love your ministry. And that's from Hector in New Jersey.
Great question. Yeah. We definitely were added to the body of Christ when we believe. So we're not just individuals. We belong to one another. And it's wonderful to have that fellowship, isn't it, Andrew?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Hector, my thoughts on your issue here, your question and what this challenge you have before you, you know, finding a healthy group of people to fellowship with. If you've already got that to some degree, if you've got established friendships and relationships in a congregation, and you haven't seen something that is just a major red flag, I would encourage you, you know, maintain friendships, maintain relationships. A lot of times people think about church backwards. They think, what can I get out of this? I've got to get something out of this. And they start measuring how much they're getting. And sometimes they are blind to the fact that they're in an incredible spot, given the fact that they know God's grace, given the fact that they know their identity in Christ. Man, sometimes they're allowed to encourage others, invest in the lives of others. So consider that as you think about your relationships. Start a study group? Absolutely. Go online and check out our archives? Absolutely. But relationships are key. And I think encouragement is always a great thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for those thoughts, Andrew. And Hector, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Remember, friends, tonight at midnight, the deadline for your donation to get your free copy of The Basic Gospel. We want you to have a copy. Go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, or call 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow at the same time. See you then. Bye-bye.